Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast maiden is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging, and their multiple birth parents with children with disabilities.
And this week we're speaking to the gorgeous Maya, mum of two children and the owner of Rare Wear.
This podcast contains truth, laughter and the occasional F word, so it's not really suitable for children.
Sometimes you just have to get your shits out. Shit, 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 shit. That's right, this is a language warning. Oh, shit.
Hello, Mandy.
Hello, Kate.
We are coming to you from beautiful Melbourne in autumn.
Yes.
It's a beautiful time of year.
Yep.
Some days the washing dries and some days it doesn't.
Yeah. Not as good as those hot days.
No, autumn leaves. Beautiful.
Beautiful.
And I don't live in a house with any deciduous trees at the moment.
Oh,
so
yes.
My last house was a lot of raking.
Yes.
And I'm rake free. So I can just love autumn.
Rake free. Yeah. Wow.
So, yeah, there you go. Yeah. I did used to quite... It's a bit therapeutic.
Well, you know, they used to say, like, you know, you got to live in a house for all the seasons to experience all of it. So that's what you're going to start to be doing now.
Yeah. See what it's like.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway. Oh, well, anyway, we have got our gorgeous guest here today. Would you like to say hello and introduce yourself?
Hi, thank you so much for having me on your podcast. And my name is Maya. I have two kids. Lloyd is 6 years old and Elsie just turned 4. I'm a single mum. I live in Melbourne and I'm the owner of Rare Wear, which is, we just passed our first birthday.
Wow.
And wearing the coolest t-shirt ever, which the peas can't see.
Oh, I know, we might need to take a photo.
So yeah. I don't know, I reckon these car mats have been around for a long time, but I had them, so the sound engineer's 30 and he had one.
Yeah.
And they were mostly green and they had roads on them and you could put your matchbox cars on them and they had hospitals and whatever. Well, that is what her t-shirt looks like.
Very cool.
How many things do you have in this print?
Have I counted? No, but I guess I'd go through it. I have two t-shirts, one jumper, bathing suit, and board shorts.
Wow.
Like underwear that a different company came out with, very similar.
But I'm she's got a mat in her car.
Oh, smart.
Yeah.
This guest has credentials.
Yes, really.
So you're
really
going to hear about them, right?
Look, at 24, I had none. And you have not been doing nothing with your 24 years.
I know.
So we'll start with our three questions and then we'll find out about you. So do you have a favourite song or band or music that sort of lifts you up in the good times or helps you get through the down times?
So I have one specific song which no one would really expect. It's from a crooner song, the 1950s.
Wow.
Mac the Knife by Bobby Darin.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, so that's probably my favourite sing-along.
Oh.
It's just really catchy, I don't know, and it's not your general otherwise it's probably Post Malone, but
okay,
two yep. very different artists.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's very different, and just the tone of crooner music to begin with, but specifically Bobby Darin, it's actually about murder, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
but
I think it is. Yeah.
It's a good song. It is. It's very catchy.
Yeah.
And the kids like it, so great. I can blast it in the car and they don't mind so too much.
Fun. Probably a few less tats than Post Malone.
Yes, definitely. Yes.
Well, we will add that to the Spotify list.
Yeah, cool.
So all the people can listen. It's exciting. Tell us, did you win any awards at school?
So I saw that question and I know you ask it a lot. And no, I didn't actually get any awards in primary or high school.
Mm, same.
I was probably better behaved in primary.
Right.
Definitely not in high school, so that doesn't really surprise anyone that knows me during that era.
Right.
But, yeah, no, more as an adult.
Okay.
Which is nice.
So yeah, is yeah. there an award you want to tell us about?
Yeah, tell
that
us.
You got as an adult?
Oh, I've been nominated for 3 recently.
Oh, tell us.
So I went to Government House, and as you guys are in Melbourne, yeah, so yeah. I've never been to Government House in Melbourne. And I was a finalist for the Victorian Volunteering Award in the Young category, so Young Volunteer of the Year. So I was a finalist, which was really cool. And I volunteer with Association for Children with a Disability, which is a Victorian-based organisation. And they won. They won their category, which was really exciting. So I saw Karen as they go up.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
my.
So that was very exciting. Yeah. And then I've got City of Casey Awards, which is where I'm based, Young Citizen of the Year nominee, and 7 News Young Achiever Award as well.
Oh, fantastic.
Wow.
Yeah.
I told you, she's got credentials.
Yeah, she's got credentials. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Powerhouse young P.
Incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
Do it now while you've got energy.
Yeah, that's right.
And I just turned 25, actually.
Oh,
turned
25. Right. 25.
Last week. Oh. Last week, yeah.
Oh, what a woman.
Did you get a cake?
So I actually make cakes as a side.
Oh, of course you do.
I've done that. about 7 years I've been doing it. So I got a Woolies mug cake because I don't make my own cake.
No.
I make my kids ones for their birthdays, but on their actual birthday, well, they can have whatever they want. But usually it's like a cheesecake shop cake or a Woolies mug cake. Because I don't want to have to clean or cook or so I got a Woolies mug cake and I was very happy with that.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever made myself a birthday cake.
No,
I'm making myself a cake. No,
no way. No.
Okay.
I did 3D cakes. So like Elsie got a 3D burger cake.
Cool.
She had a bluey cake a couple of years ago, or a stack of pancakes I did for her first birthday.
Cool.
And Lloyd gets similar kind of ones. But I like the different kind of, I did the 3D teddy bear for my baby shower. It's probably the only time I've put in effort for my own cake.
Wow.
And that was one of my first ones, but it was, proper 3D teddy bear with piped on fur and fully edible.
Good on you. But
so did you just do that over YouTube, like follow people's instructions?
Yeah, or? Just self-taught. Yeah.
Wow.
I did self-teach myself washing. And I didn't even have YouTube. That's all I'm saying.
I'm bad at being bored. I'm 88. I was diagnosed ADHD.
Yeah.
If that's a surprise to you. I just can't. I can be bored for to catch up and just have a minute.
Yes.
But I need to have several ongoing different projects or side hustles or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Because I just, especially being a special needs parent, I think you need to keep yourself not distracted as such, but just busy and having your life with purpose and
finishing
and I like
your
the
task,
things I do.
Right. Yeah. It's finishing, parenting, there's no beginning or end.
That's
well, there
right.
is a beginning when they get born.
Yeah, but finishing a cake.
Yeah, finishing something.
It's an accomplishment.
Feels terrific.
It really does. Yeah.
Oh.
Yes. All right. And our favorite question, why are you a P?
I'm P because Lloyd is my 6-year-old little P. We also call him a swan baby.
Yes.
So I am an admin officer for Syndromes Without a Name, and I know you've interviewed Heather, the founder of Swan, and she recently stepped down as CEO but is still very, very much involved.
Just the most awesome human.
Yes.
We love
she
Heather.
She is, absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely love her to pieces. Just,
my
probably biggest idol, to be honest.
Yes.
Yep, and she's
– fair enough.
You can feel like you're following in the footsteps of giants.
Yeah.
A woman like that.
Definitely. She's introduced me to worlds I didn't even know existed.
Yes.
And I'm pretty in there, but Heather. I can't even, there's not enough good words to describe Heather. So she's wonderful, honestly. And she's obviously a special needs parent as well, to her daughter Becky. So so I have Lloyd, he's 6, and he has a rare genetic condition. He was diagnosed at about 2.5 with it's called IQ-Sec2 associated disorder. Right. It doesn't have a name as such, like a syndromic name.
Right.
So like Angelman or like they all have syndrome names. Mm-hmm. And his is on his X chromosome, and it is a protein gene mutation.
Right.
So it can't. Of functions at 70%, and IQ-Sec2 is that specific gene, but it goes, we did further testing and it goes further into his protein, where instead of copying, without getting too much into it, there's things called exons and introns. And say if I use the tic-tac theory, as I'm a visual person, if you line up 10 tic-tacs, every second one is called an intron, every first one's an exon.
Right.
You, when they copy the DNA, the introns are kind of like space holders. So they drop and they just copy 5. So they copy 1, 3, 5, et cetera. But Lloydie's, when it gets up to probably about number 4, there's a lot more exons than that, but just we'll go with the 10.
Yeah.
When it gets to 4 or 5, the intron stays. And so then it doesn't copy the last bit.
Right.
But then also mucks it up a little bit because the intron stayed.
Yeah.
So without... I like my explanation. A very simple explanation.
Yeah.
Saying it's kind of working, but it's obviously kind of not. And he's quite severe on his condition, which includes epilepsy. He's in a wheelchair. He's about 6 to 8 months old cognitively.
Right.
And he's peg fed now only as of last year.
Right.
He was NG fed. We started that journey 2 years ago, but before that ate fine mostly. Couldn't chew quite well, but like ate food, you know. Mm-hmm. And then, that was a whole journey in itself, which was really unexpected, not even to do with his condition. And we still don't have an underlying reason why.
Right.
But now he's gaining weight mostly, and he's really happy, and his skin's healthy, and he's got energy, and he's not sleeping 20 hours a day. Right. So we're on the good side of it now.
Yeah.
And he also has epilepsy, but compared to other peers, not as bad, thankfully. Mm. We don't want to knock that too early. He also wasn't diagnosed with epilepsy until he was 3.
Right.
But I now look back at videos knowing that they were drop seizures. When I just thought he was being silly or something, but he was like actually dropping his head. But they obviously weren't as severe as when he was diagnosed at 3. I could definitely tell something was up, and it got progressively worse in probably about 6 weeks.
Right.
So saying he's on the severe end of the spectrum, but there's different sort of sections of which kids, dependent upon their gene mutation, are sort of worse in other areas.
Right.
Some have medicine-resistant epilepsy. Mm-hmm. Lloyd is mostly controlled now, as of a couple months ago.
Mm.
So I'm feeling like I'm pretty lucky that he isn't always in hospital. Or, but I used to say that a lot, and then he ended up in there with an NG, and we had a whole thing. Mm. So. Say that very lightly, but he's very chill, happy little pea. He, his favorite things are cars and music. So, his favorite music, like songs, bands, AC/DC, Metallica, Five Finger Death Punch,
excellent taste,
Peter Gabriel. Kate Bush, like very 80s kid.
Yes.
Very, very 80s kid. Because he's best friends with my dad, who grew up in the 80s.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
And my dad's Aussie Ocker, truck driving, beer drinking.
Yep.
He's I'm going to introduce you to real music. Awesome.
Yeah, so very much into that. Yeah. And then his favorite car, specifically, according to Lloyd, is a 1957 Chevy Bel Air.
Right.
Specifically,
okay.
Wow.
We are a bit of a car family. Yeah. I used to work at Super Cheap Auto for about 4 years, so I can, you know, change batteries and lights, headlights and oil, and I do my own brakes and service my own car.
Wow.
My dad's a mechanic too, so.
Oh, he's a mechanic. So he taught you.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then I learned a lot, like, on the job as well, like, at Super Cheap. And
do
so.
Your own brakes?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Just like, yeah.
Look, I'm pretty, pretty excited if I can even choose the right bulb for the rear view light.
It is hard. It is hard. Like working at Super Cheap definitely helped me. It's not just like I have this general knowledge. I did it for 4 years helping people pick like globes and noticing the shape, people would come into the shop and be like, oh, I need this. And very sexist. A lot of customers are very, very sexist. And normally I wouldn't care, but they come in and I'm the manager and they're like, I need this globe. And I'm like, yeah, that's a Bay 15D, which is a stock tail one.
Yeah.
Pretty common one. And he'd be like, you can't know just looking at it. Mm. And they all have specific, it's like a light globe in your house. You can tell whether it's a store or not a bayonet, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty much what this light is, like a bayonet one.
Yep.
And I'm like, he's like, oh, I need it fitted. And I was like, oh, no problems. I'll meet you out there in a second. And he'd be like, no, no, no. I need a guy. Like, where's the guy?
How very deep.
It would happen all the time. I bet. But the surprise on their face once I do it for them, though, is just priceless.
Who are you? Girls can do it.
I go with that.
So good.
It's fine. Yeah. Oh. But I love teaching people. Like, I used all the, I'll be a little bit sexist here, but the females that were coming, especially, you know, my age, 20-year-olds, and they're watching me, and I'm like, you want me to teach you how to do it?
Yes.
So you can try at least yourself. And they're fairly, once you do it, it's easy.
Yeah.
So I just teach them. Some are really hard, don't get me wrong, but, you know, just a headlight or a brake globe, which are fairly easy. Mm. I'd be like, you just unscrew these two screws. You just pull it out. It seems hard, but then you just push and twist. It's like a house one, most of them.
Yeah.
You push, twist it out, take it out, push, twist it back in, and then close it up. So I teach them, so it gives them a bit of autonomy, but then they can also go back, no, I know how to do it.
I can do it.
It's like someone teaching how to change a tire, you know? Yeah, like, if you have the ability to teach someone something, teach them.
I think this is another job you need to have. Start up your own business in teaching young women how to look after their cars.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, just think about that.
Yeah, because I think you've got maybe Wednesday between 6 and 9, you could do that.
So I put water and soap in my, you know, the window cleaner thing the other day, and I was pumped at myself.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's good. No, it's great. It's amazing, honestly.
When I was your age, I had an old car, so I knew how to do stuff. But now the cars are so fancy.
New cars are hard.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Let's go back to your beautiful boy. So was your pregnancy sort of typical and your birth typical or?
Yeah. So I've had – I actually had a story published a little while ago on the news about my really ridiculous journey to getting him diagnosed. Mm. So I was 18 when I was pregnant with Lloydie.
Yeah.
I was with my ex-partner, pretty much got pregnant with him when I was almost 18, turned 18. Oh, sorry, I think I asked him to marry me, so we got engaged, and then I'd finished year 12 and everything.
Yep.
And then I had a fairly normal pregnancy. I was had very bad morning sickness that, you know, lasted all day. It wasn't quite hypermesis, like, but it was there, but I had a vomiting routine. Like, it was significantly bad, and I worked like 40 hours a week, and I used to, you know, vomit on the way to the bus, then get off the bus and vomit on the way to the train station. And vomit. Like, it was just a terrible and, like, chewing on support.
But you just didn't. You plodded along.
Well, some people
end up in hospital. You've got no choice.
Yeah. You have no choice. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. But other than that, I had a fairly good pregnancy.
Other than vomiting all the time, it was great. Yeah.
And I have a heart condition, so I was very weary anyway.
Right.
And being checked sort of more regularly than others. And so I went to, well, it's Monash. Yeah, as you guys would probably know, is your main high risk pregnancy.
Yes.
I wouldn't say I was like super high risk, just a bit of extra caution.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was absolutely fine. Born, they're like, oh, he's going to be a bit small because I, you know, when they measure your belly and they go, they seem small, they seem big, and they're like, oh, he seems pretty small. And I got induced like a week early, and he was 8 pounds.
Oh, not small.
Small.
Oh, no, not at all.
And if I was they weighed him twice because they were so unsure.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He just must have been all baby.
Yeah, I was like, I just, oh, he was fine anyway. So my 8-pound little baby, quite little, and it was fine. And then we probably were general babyhood for the first 4-ish months. Mm. And just for a little bit of context, my sister had a baby 11 months before I did, and she's 13 months older than me.
Right.
Okay. And we all lived together with my mum.
Wow.
So I just helped raise my niece, just as, like, you know, a little village.
You've seen it. You had a compare and contrast.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when he was 4 months, and I'd gone back to studying when he was about 6 months, just doing a cert 4, and he wasn't such a chill baby, honestly, like, other than, you know, getting used to breastfeeding and that kind of thing, he was quite chill, which I was ecstatic about. I was like, winning. But he really didn't grab out for toys or he really liked his black and white little soccer ball on the little, you know, the mat with the domed thing. You can attach toys. He really liked his soccer ball and his monkey he used to reach with the song. I could play like a little song. But other than that, very chill. Couldn't really deal with solids, which wasn't really expected anyway, like more towards 6 months.
Yep.
And so I went to my maternal child health and I was like, oh, he's not, like he's sort of rolling, but he's not. His head control was fine.
Yeah.
And then she's like, oh, we'll just wait and see. Because 6 months is really hard to sort of tell. Mm. And I was like, okay. But he was growing fine. Like, he was a chunky little monkey. Like, he was absolutely fine, like, health-wise.
Mm.
And then at 8 months, I went back and I said, look, he's still not sitting, not even propping with pillows behind him. It's just a no-go. And you know when you stand a baby and you put their feet down on your lap, you don't let them stand completely with their own weight
because
they're like little spines already.
Yeah,
and that you stand them, right, and you hold them. Lloyd couldn't do that at all, and he would scream bloody murder if you forced him. Right. So I was like, maybe it's hip dysplasia. Maybe you have missed something. He had a bit of a clicky hip, but it was nothing concerning. So I'm like, the maternal child health said at 8 months, let's just wait until 12 months.
Wow.
And he was not grabbing toys. And I loved his maternal child health.
That's very unusual. That's when my daughter got picked up. Yeah, yep. That is unusual.
Yeah, so
it's significant.
Do you think it's because I'm still 18 were a young mum and she was like,
there's
a bit of pressure.
She's got my sister too, who also had a baby at 18.
Yeah.
But I thought she was amazing. I thought she was honestly not like, she didn't judge us on age.
No, no, no.
She knew my sister. But yeah, I don't know what went on there. But 8 months, I was like, well, I'm just going to get a hip x-ray just to check.
Okay.
Because I was dead set it was hip dysplasia or something.
Yeah.
Because it was mostly that physical factor. Yes. It wasn't that he wasn't grabbing toys because he was very slowly but progressively getting better with sort of noticing things around him. And But again, it was so chill. So I was like, well,
Maybe
he's cool.
Chill.
Like, he's still watching people. Yeah. But I was like, well, he's just not.
Just a relaxed.
I'm happy, I don't know.
Yeah,
just relaxed. And we used to go out all the time. So, you know, I went to my grandparents all the time, my great-grandma all the time, my dad. We used to see a lot of people. So he was very used to being out and with people and being in the car all, I'm not really a homebody. So everything was fine. And again, in health, because he was growing really well. So she was like, oh, look, I'm not really that concerned. Mm. And I was like, oh, okay. Anyway, I got the hip x-ray and it was fine. And I was like, obviously very happy, but I was kind of like, okay, well, now we've got another problem, so what's this? And I'm working pretty much full-time at this stage in aged care. So I did my Cert 4 on aging for 6 months, and then I got the job before I'd even finished the cert, and I was working in, like, near Knox, basically.
Mm.
And so that was about half an hour from home, and my ex-partner at the time was working a little bit when he wanted to. And so Lloyd was half a daycare, half my friend during the week. And so I got a referral to a pediatrician for Monash and they said 18-month wait.
Yeah.
Even though at this stage it's 8 months or just over 8 months, he couldn't sit propped up. He could eat solids but only like 4-month-old kind of solids. And I was hand-making all his food, like sweet potato was probably the thickest he could go to.
Mm.
And he was aspirating on water. So working in aged care, I used to thicken his water because he was thickener in aged care. So I was like, well, let's just do all these sort of things for Lloyd. And then then I got a referral to a private pediatrician. Mind you, I'm 18, I'm working, but I have no money.
Oh,
like,
of course. $600
for an appointment or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah, so I went to my 97-year-old great-grandma and I was like, hi, grandma, sorry, but can I borrow $350 for this pediatrician appointment? I thought, I rarely ever ask for money. I'm the one people come to ask money for. Not that it's anything bad, and if you really need to ask
parents, grandparents,
do it. It's for your child's health, you know?
Yes.
But it was a big deal that you had to ask. Yeah.
100%, because I've always been fairly self-sufficient. Yeah. So, anyway, she gave it to me, no problems, obviously. And then I saw a private pediatrician at Monash Private. And so she was absolutely lovely. So I went in there. He was 11 months old. Mind you, so we've had nothing this entire time. I'd organized a pediatric physio sort of in between this time, working with physios at my aged care. So luckily I was linking everyone possibly that I could. And also I can pretty much talk to anyone. So that was really good. So the paediatrician said global developmental delay, 100%, because he still couldn't sit at this stage.
Right.
Couldn't really roll either at this stage. Still wasn't having anything but puree. He was sleeping quite a lot, especially for an 11-month-old. Mm. He was sleeping up to like 20, 22 hours
a
day.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. That's a lot, yeah. And he had periods where he wouldn't, but that was probably the average. Because I was like, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. GP was dismissing me. The maternal health is dismissing me. They're like, oh, you're just a young mom. Yeah. Oh, he's just a boy. And I'm like,
no.
There's something wrong.
Yeah.
And so, and I was like, look, I've already met to the GP, already done hips, blah, blah, you know. And so this paediatrician said global developmental delay, his eye has a bit of extrotropia, which is fine. Referred us to absolutely everyone you could think of, you know, from neurologist to cardiologist to community speech, and then a couple other places. And so we slowly, you know, ticked off the list to see all these people. So we did a hearing test. That was fine. But he didn't pass the toddler one. So he was over one by the time this happened. And I don't know if you've been to a toddler sort of hearing test, but they have at Monash, they've got little puppets in each, in two, like on the opposite side of the room, and they've got to look when they do a sound. I had to prove to the audiologist that he could hear. So Lloyd was not interested in looking at these puppets. He did not care. He was like, this music's boring. I don't want to look at these things. He was just sitting there. Mind you, it was also in the pram because he couldn't sit. So he couldn't sit on the chair when they wanted him either. And so the audiologist's like, oh, I'm not sure. Like, he's not looking. And I'm like, I promise you, he's not deaf. Like, I got a video of him crying and put it behind him and then played it and he looked straight behind him. So I was like, it's not. So we had to do the newborn hearing. Like, I had to bring him a bottle, put him to sleep and do it that way. So thankfully his hearing's fine. But it was just kind of odd bits and pieces like that that kind of made up the end story. So we did blood tests. We did, like I said, everything neurology. And then we finally, MRI was our last one of these referrals. And we got the results back. And I was honestly assuming a cerebral palsy because everything, all these characteristics kind of led to that being a possibility of a diagnosis. So I kind of was okay with that. I was like, you know, that's, you got cerebral palsy alliance, you got NDIS now. Like, okay, this will be okay. And then there was nothing. There was nothing on the MRI. And whilst that was fantastic, like,
it's still
unless
no
you've
answers.
Got a child that's got special needs, it's so hard to explain. Like, you two would get it, but other people are like, why are you happy? And I'm like, because I was hoping this was the answer.
Yes.
I've been through months.
Yeah.
I even lost my full-time contract at my job because I had to take so much time off.
Of course you did.
I was so mad. But anyway, so I'm still working my butt off trying to do all these appointments. And then I went to the GP and back to the maternal child health, a different one, because she had left and nothing wrong again with that maternal child health. And I was like, where do we go now? Like, all these tests are inconclusive. And they said, don't know, nowhere to go now. You've just got to wait. I'm like, here I am, like, mum guilt, self-blaming, obviously. I'm like, what didn't I do? Did I go back to work too early? Was I doing all this, you know? And so then I obviously Googled, like all other parents do. And I was looking up genetic testing. And so I knew that you could get referred to genetics at the RCH. I didn't know about Monash at the time. But Monash has a 5-year wait, apparently. So I'm glad we didn't go there.
5 years.
Yeah, insane. So kind of glad I didn't know about that one. Anyway, I connected with other parents on, you know, Instagram, Facebook with kids with global developmental delay. And here I am still thinking, like, oh, maybe it's a quick fix. Maybe it's just, like, his iron was low. I'm like, maybe it's just that. Maybe when he wakes up a bit more, he'll catch up. You know, we all have that kind of like, naive. I'm like, but there's still something else. But maybe it'll be a quick thing. And so we got referred to genetics by my GP because I said, look, I want to go to genetics. I want to go VCGS. I want this done now. Can you refer me? He's like, yep, no problem. Because he'd already seen all the tests that we had done. And I was like, we still have an answer, but there's obviously, he still couldn't sit. And he's like, almost two at this stage. And I was paying privately for physio for a little bit, then got NDIS. But we're in that like weird rollout stage. We were one of the last ones rolled out, I think, in Vic. So we had, I paid privately, but then our NDIS took almost 12 months because we were accepted, but they hadn't sent me the letter and they thought they had. And there was nothing on the portal or anything, and every time I rang, they said, oh, yeah, it should be done soon, should be done soon. So it's just a really, I don't want to blame anyone either because it was a really rocky rollout. So I just kept paying privately for a while, but it meant that Lordy only got physio, you know, once a fortnight.
Of course, right? Because it's expensive. You can afford it. Yes.
And we still have that physio, thank goodness. Oh. She's absolutely amazing. Right. So, yeah, it was just a whole thing. And then I asked to get put on their cancellation list. So we actually got an appointment really quickly because they had a cancellation and it was the next day. And I was like, yep, wow. No worries. We'll cancel. And yep. I was like,
I will be there.
I don't even care.
Yeah.
So then we went to the RCH and I had to plead my case again because he, you know, quote, looks normal.
Mm.
So I was like, well, he has this and this and this and this and this global developmental delay and yada, yada, yada. And then they said because he, you know, quote, doesn't have any dysmorphic features, doesn't have any failure to thrive. They most likely weren't going to do whole exome sequencing.
Right.
And she explained it was due to, you know, funding and they need to have 100% concern. Not 100% concern, but they're going to get an answer. Yes. They basically want to do testing to where they know they're going to get an answer.
Yes.
And kids that have dysmorphic features or other medical conditions or other underlying conditions will generally point towards a diagnosis.
Yes.
You know, for example, kids with Down syndrome generally have a heart defect or some sort of heart condition
right. That
goes along with that.
Yeah.
Or they have dysmorphic, I hate saying dysmorphic features.
Yeah, but it's just understand what you're saying. Yes.
And so they weren't sure that he would come up with anything or maybe it wasn't going to be found yet. And as you would talk to Heather, a lot of kids are undiagnosed because it's just not discovered yet.
Yeah.
I pled my case so hard. It was ridiculous.
Wow.
And so she rang me back the next Friday and said, yep, we're going to test him. So we got bloods done while we're there. We got pictures done.
Yep,
awesome. And a couple other, like we got a microarray done and Fragile X and I think something else as well. So she's like, look, I've talked to the board. We think it's these top three things.
Right.
We will send his blood off for testing. And they said about 6 months. So, and I was thankful they said 6 months to me because it was 6 months.
Mm.
And so then I went back in the December 2019 and I was 26, 28 weeks pregnant with Elsie at the time.
Yep.
And so we went in and she goes, yep, we've found something. It's IQ Sec 2. I was like, oh, okay, cool. I know what that is. So in that time I'd actually researched probably about 1,000 of the genes just to a very brief degree and sort of I went through I like researched a lot. It was ridiculous. I researched about 100 to 200 before I even went in for the initial appointment. And she actually asked me, she's like, well, what do you think it is then? And I was like, I think it's GAND actually. which is GABADBD2. I always get the gene name wrong, but very kind of similar characteristics, but chromosome 1 and predominantly for girls. So I was already on a bit of an if for that, but that's what he aligned with the minimal ones I'd already researched. And that kind of was a bit of a tipping edge for her that I kind of knew what I was talking about and why I thought this was going to be good for him or to help us get a diagnosis. So, yeah, when we got IQSec 2, I was telling the geneticist more about it because, like I said, I'd already talked to a lot of families. A family we know who lives not far from us was diagnosed at Monash a month before we were with IQSec 2.
Wow.
And we'd actually talk because our boys both had GDD and were very, very similar and they're almost exactly a year apart.
Goodness, that's incredible.
So you're like, right, I've seen this.
Yeah.
I know what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'd already researched it because it was just like the month before and I was like, oh, I didn't think Lloyd would be diagnosed with it, to be honest, but I was like just curious as to what those sort of symptoms and characteristics and prognosis was. Because, for example, Lloyd's prognosis is general normal life expectancy, dependent upon epilepsy and all that kind of jazz. But I just wanted to know whether we were all in kind of what we could possibly be in for. And then I ended up telling the geneticist more about it than she could tell me. And I was like,
come on, tell
fantastic.
Me more.
Fantastic. Yeah. And so I was with Brendan, he's still technically my husband at the time, but I had to go to that appointment by myself because he was working night shift and couldn't not sleep for work the next day.
Right.
So I traveled, an hour.
So many things on your own. You're amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you. And so I cried on my home.
Of course.
I was like screaming, crying in the car.
Yes.
Plus I was offered an abortion as well. Sorry, trigger warning. Didn't take it, obviously.
Yeah.
Because there's so much uncertainty around his condition because it's not, there's about 300 in the world, maybe 350 now.
Right. And there was someone diagnosed a month before you.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, so it's about 12 in Australia.
Right.
12 to 18 in Australia that I know of so far. So it's probably a little bit more now. I haven't done an updated tag, but it's still not that many, let's be real. Mm. So I got home and Brennan, I had to wake up Brennan and explain to him what he was diagnosed with. And I'm very always into science, STEM, biology.
We can tell.
Sort of thing. So, yeah. So it made sense to me and I just researched it a bit more. Oh, a lot more after that. But I had to go to Brennan. I said, look, Brennan, Lloyd has IQ like 2, and he's like, what's that mean? And I said, look, he has a severe intellectual disability and he will always have an intellectual disability and he may never walk and he may never talk. And I already knew a couple of facts, like most of the boys are nonverbal forever. Most of them can walk to a degree. But a lot are in wheelchairs. It really depends on the severity scale and we are still figuring it out. But it was heartbreaking and he'd cry and I cried with him. But the worst part was back then they only did single whole exome sequencing, which means they only tested Lloyd. They didn't test whether it came from me or not. So being on the X chromosome, we then knew that it was only from me or not, or a de novo, from not from anyone, just happened.
Right.
So then I got a swab, a mouth swab, cheek swab, sorry, done at that appointment. And they offered an amniocentesis test through my stomach to Elsie to check if she had the gene mutation. So that was probably the worst part, other than the diagnosis in itself, was I didn't know if my unborn child had the same condition. Yes, and we weren't even at the peak of Lloyd's symptoms either then.
No.
So it was just, and we had just had NDIS and started on all of that. So it was, I was still working pretty much full time too, by the way. Oh, I was working two jobs when I was pregnant with Elsie. I started at Super Cheap and I worked at aged care. So I worked there about 4 days a week and then I worked 2 to 4 days a week at Super Cheap Auto. So, and again, I still had really bad vomiting with Elsie as well.
Not only am I going to change your headlight, I'm going to do it 7 months pregnant.
Yeah, what a woman.
Oh, yeah. still on time. And then we got her we got the test back just before I had Elsie. So I didn't know the entire time. And I had a really hard pregnancy with Elsie, other than working a ridiculous amount. And lifting Lloyd, mind you, who decided to gain extra weight while I was pregnant. So he was like 14, 15 kilo.
Yeah.
Wow.
And stress.
And he didn't have a wheelchair or anything. Mm. Yeah. So, and I was going through some things with Brendan at the time as well. And the diagnosis brings a whole.
Of course. It's very tricky.
Different.
Yes, it does.
Kind of relationship issue.
Yep. Yep.
You're not alone in that.
No, you're not alone in that.
100%, yeah. So then we
So you got the diagnosis a month before she was born, or you got the
I got the whole exome sequencing back, like my test, and I didn't do Elsie's because, I was on two different heart medications. I was struggling a lot, so I didn't want to put extra risk to her. I know they do it all the time, but I just didn't think it was necessary.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yep.
And so mine came back that I didn't have it and it was de novo. So that was kind of a lot of like a heavy weight off my shoulders.
Yes.
And that worked out really well.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
So then you had your daughter. And so you knew that it was a one-off for Lloyd?
Yeah. So even though it's de novo, you still have a very, very small chance of having another child with the same genetic mutation or something similar.
Yeah.
But I guess you take that in every pregnancy you have anyway. You do. So that's too concerned, honestly. I was like, if I have two kids with the same condition, what am I going to do? Like, she's here now.
Yeah.
And so I had her on the 26th of February, 2020.
Oh, before the world shut down.
Yeah. And then I had my 21st on the 4th of March, a week later.
Oh.
We went out for dinner to Fountain Gate and shopping centre. And then the whole world shut down.
Well, the whole Victoria shut down.
You must remember that.
At the point of this recording, it was 4 years ago that we all went into lockdown.
Yeah. It was the 13th.
Yes, it was.
Yes, it was four years ago today.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I will never forget that day.
No.
Wow.
Yeah. It was just like, I think we all dealt with it okay at the beginning. It was a lot of a shock, but everyone was just like, we'll see how we go.
We were in it with the world in the beginning.
Yeah, we were the whole world. Dan Andrews coming on. We're going to lock down.
For- and then Victoria, though.
Yeah.
Victoria, we stayed strong to the lockdown.
Yep.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. So.
She had a new baby.
A new, fairly recent diagnosis.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was a lot. And that's in the time that we found out that he had epilepsy and thankfully doesn't have tonic-clonic seizures or anything, you know, I say like too intense, I suppose. There's still seizures, but a little less intense.
Yeah.
They don't require any rescue medication. But when I talked to the neurologist and I said, look, he's having absent seizures, which was the first seizure he had, and they were quite significant absent seizures. Mm. Like he would be halfway through therapy and be a bit stressed and he'd just stare into the like his whole body would go stiff and just, I still think it was mixed with something else, like a different kind of seizure.
Mm.
The neurologist told me to come back when he was having real seizures.
Oh, okay.
And so I did when he was having atonic and myoclonic seizures, which to drop seizures.
Oh my
so
gosh,
then he was like,
real.
Oh, yep, there's it.
So, okay. So
it's kind of like I've had a lot of that in my little journey with Lloyd.
Like
and the sad thing is sometimes I have grace for the fact that some of our pea mums, their pea shoots are 30 or 40 and I'm like, okay, it was a long time ago. This is not a long time ago.
No.
This is really recent.
I don't know why I had that experience, especially around like Melbourne has great clinicians and great specialists and great hospitals. So, but we actually moved all of our care from Monash to RCH. Yeah. But I also know parents that have moved all their stuff from RCH.
Because I went from Monash to the Children's and then and one of our friends was doing the opposite. So, I remember.
Yeah. So it really depends on just who you get, how you go. Like Monash, we didn't get a regular ped. So he's, he lost 70, he lost like 15% of his body weight in like a couple of weeks 2 years ago and that was constantly put down as constipation. I said he's not eating enough to be constipated or he's not eating enough to go. Like it's not just that. And we saw a different pediatrician every time because it's just the rounds. I said he's complex. Like I try and be very like positive about everything though. So you really can't be that positive when you're talking to clinicians, which really sucks. Yes, that's my pee. Here's my pee. Yes, and thankfully, I've only got one. So, seriously, clap my hands to parents that have more than one.
Awesome.
But, I have, my one little pee. So, he's great,
And is he at school now?
So, he goes to a special school, So, I've just moved from, he's in grade one. We just moved from a special school that was definitely not suited to him last year to this amazing school in southeast Melbourne. It's meant physical disability specific school. And they are absolutely amazing. I've seen more in this, how many weeks? We're now 5 or 6 weeks into school.
Mm.
I've seen more progress in the last 6 weeks, say, than I did in 12 months last year.
Wow. Isn't it great when you find the right place?
So good.
Yeah. So absolutely fantastic. He goes 4 days a week and on Wednesdays we do speech therapy, then exercise physiology and then OT or physio alternating.
Yeah,
so we just do a whole therapy day. Yeah, instead of the after school, like no way is he doing after school. Plus he takes the bus.
Yep.
Where he wasn't eligible for the bus before.
Oh, well, that's life-changing.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, definitely, except 7 a.m. pickup.
Yep.
And a 4:45 drop-off, but he loves the bus.
Does he?
They love his music choices.
Good.
Yes.
So...
Yeah.
It works for both them and for Lloyd.
Yeah, great. Yep. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
And Elsie's in 4-year-old kinder.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, you're busy.
And you are now a single mum. So during all of this,
sorry.
You also, that was another huge life thing that happened to you?
Yeah, so we separated. We started having a lot of trouble sort of after Lloyd's diagnosis.
Yeah.
And then I was also pregnant too, so it could have been a bit of that, to be honest. And we officially, well, the last time we broke up was in Feb 2 years ago.
Mm. Right, yep.
Around 2024, 2022.
Yep.
But it was really the December of 2020 when we really – sorry, it must have been Feb 2021. Yep. So December 2020 we was the first time we really split up.
Mm.
So Elsie's only 8 months old, we're about 10 months old. And it was a lot between settling into diagnosis and then I thought, you know, I felt like I was doing everything.
Yep.
He was in and out of jobs. I was trying to work as much as possible but do all those therapies by myself.
Yeah.
And then lockdown, and you're doing all your therapies on Zoom, and like Lloyd kind of like didn't even look at the screen.
That is just sorry, that's a recipe.
It was really insane. I had really great neighbors at the time, thankfully. So when Brendan was working night shift or when we'd split up, they used to, she's the cook of the daycare actually. So she used to bring me food, like dinner. And I actually moved Lloyd from the daycare he was at to her daycare because they used to neglect Lloyd at his old daycare. Yes. They put him in a corner or away from the other kids or in the baby room and wouldn't move him up.
Yes. Very so it's just common.
A nightmare.
Yeah.
So I was very thankful to have great neighbors at the time.
You're a very young, fierce advocate.
She is.
I tried hard.
Yeah, no, you're exceptional.
You're doing it.
Nothing I love more than a fierce advocate woman.
Yeah.
Like, I just think, yes, we change the world. Yes. But I just want to acknowledge that you're doing it. And you're what an awesome human you are.
Yeah. Tell us about what you're studying.
Yeah.
Yeah, so in 2020 I decided to start my Diploma Health Science as well.
You haven't got enough
of course, like why not, right? And I finished that and then I went straight into my second year of my Bachelor of Health Science with a major in exercise science and a major in disability inclusion.
Yeah.
So I finished that last year and I officially graduated at the start of this year.
Congratulations.
So were you doing this full-time?
Full-time, yeah, full-time.
I just can't even. Amazing.
I'm bad at being bored, remember?
Yeah, I do remember. I think it's great. I love it.
Yeah.
Mm. There was a lot of family violence in that time. So I had a couple of AVOs. He had to do anger management.
Yep.
He's currently not seeing kids, but it might change. Who knows? Yep. And then I moved house as well to a bigger place because we were initially together and now we are not. But having a child in a wheelchair is a whole different set of trying to find a house and a place that suits him.
Wow.
Yes.
And he's on this, like, it's just. Everything's townhouses when you're looking for in your mind.
Everything is townhouses.
It's hard. Yeah, I could carry him if I have to, but
no.
Upstairs every day, no. I don't really want to.
No.
It's actually not safe for him too.
No.
No, exactly. And my parents, like my mum struggles to carry him now. My dad, like I said, big trucky dude, he's fine.
Yeah.
But my mum, like, comes and helps and looks after them. And so, yeah, it's just not.
No.
So mum lives with me now, and so she helps where she can. She doesn't work at the moment. But, yeah, so then I'm doing my honours year. Yeah. So I qualified for honours because I had like a distinction average basically.
Grade point average.
Doing a major in disability and having a child with a disability definitely helped. So maternal studies, something that's slightly not, I don't want to say easier, but you can use your lived experience.
You've got the lived experience.
Yeah. Right. So I did that. And then, so my honours, I'm doing it at the University of Melbourne. So it's technically a Bachelor of Science, although I finished the Bachelor compartment. Bachelor of Science honours, and I'm doing my research project at the Murdoch Children's Research Institute, which is located at the Royal Children's Hospital, focusing on increasing diversity in Australian genomics.
Mm. Unbelievable.
So qualitative research,
Far out. And when do you finish that? This year, next year?
This year. So it's just 12 months. Right. It's a kind of, they say a 38-hour-a-week workload. Let's see how that goes. Wow. A lot of uni students are struggling working part-time and doing their honours.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd just test it out and do my own experiment to see if we can just do it with kids too.
Yeah.
And Rayla, and I work at Swan 15 hours a week, although I definitely work more than that.
Yeah.
And I'm on a few different community advisory groups like the Royal Children's Family Advisory Council, Melbourne Genomics Health Alliance, Community Advisory Council, and healthy trajectories. And I was on the Swan CAG, but now that I'm admin, I think it's a bit of a conflict of interest. Right. But anyway.
So you're filling in as CEO for Swan, is that right?
Yeah, so we just got a new CEO. Oh. Not everyone knows yet, but they're going to find out this week.
Okay.
And he started on Monday. And
is that a relief for you?
Technically yesterday, because Monday was a public holiday for Victoria. And he comes from a not-for-profit background.
Right.
So hopefully, and he lives in Victoria, so it would be a great start.
Yes.
But, yeah, so I've pretty much been, Heather called me acting CEO, so we'll go with that.
Yeah.
Since Heather stepped down, obviously with heavy guidance from Heather.
Yeah. But you did you took it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I pretty much been trying to keep our head above water with Swan because we didn't want it to sort of diminish into nothing, obviously. Yes. So it's been there. We've still been holding events doing all of that. So, yeah, it's been.
So you're going to work in this field.
It's been hard. Sorry?
You're going to work in this field.
Yeah, well, I want to do research most likely. I haven't completely decided. I might go to, if I get a good enough score, I want to try and start my PhD next year.
Yeah.
But just do it sort of maybe full time. We'll see.
Yeah.
But at least that's get
a big load.
The scholarship into doing that because it's a massive thing. So at least if I get it, then I can do it part time over sort of 6 years if I want to and focus on rareware and or a research job. But yeah, so I've kind of got my foot in all
bits
with Swan, volunteering with ACD, and then studying in it as well.
So great. So rareware, let's just segue to that. Yes. That is, we'll have all the links in the show notes and we'll put some photos up on our Insta. But
thank you.
How on earth did you fund starting that?
So I'm very, very, very grateful that I have a friend who kind of kickstarted me, who doesn't want any money back until I make money back.
Oh, so fantastic.
They believe in me, which is fantastic.
Nice and you believed in.
Yes.
So I did a lot of research first and sort of got samples and halves made here, halves made overseas. And so I officially got my business name and all of that in June 2022.
Yep.
I think of what year we're in now.
I know.
2024, it's insane. So I used to do my business name and whatnot in June and we launched in December. Just with pants, with like track pants with zips for AFOs or ankle foot orthotics because my son wears AFOs.
Yes.
And my hips could always stretch the cuffs of chino pants over his AFOs, but I cannot. Doesn't matter how much hand strength I have, I cannot do it. I can change a light globe in a car or a headlight because
I really AFOs can't mobile, busted but my balls too. Like, honestly, they are not easy. Like, yes. Yeah.
So hard. Like, and the aim of rareware is to make parents or carers' lives easier when it doesn't have to be hard.
Yeah.
Pants shouldn't be hard.
Yes. No, they shouldn't be hard. Wow.
So, and you shouldn't have to buy a Tommy Hilfiger.
No.
I just want decent pants. You can go to school in, you can put in the dryer if you want to, and they're not going to shrink a deal, although the care instructions
get him
do
over
not.
His legs.
So don't put them in the dryer.
I mean, everything says not to go in the dryer, but we can, exactly. You know.
What else have you made? What else have you got?
So I've got pants with zips for AFO. So I've got trackies, two different types of trackies and dress pants. Mm-hmm. And then I have jumpers, so pullover jumpers with zips from the wrist to the neck and a zip across the middle for peg access.
Awesome.
And then I have some new items coming this year.
Great.
So I don't really want to give them away yet, actually.
No, don't say.
No.
But people just follow her.
Yeah.
Follow Rareware and then you can find out.
So you're
out
on
when
Instagram. What else are you on?
Yeah. Instagram, TikTok, Facebook.
Cool.
Yep.
I'm on Twitter. Not much of a Twitter fan.
No. We're not really Twitter. Well,
but so, and Lloyd has his own page as well that I sort of try and update.
Oh.
Yeah. But yeah, so it's called Lloyd's Life with IQSec 2.
Ah, great. We'll find
it. I should probably post more on it, but it has a bit of like, you know, what a stander is. And I show you how to put Lloyd in his stander or on my, I think on his Facebook, I've got how we put him in his wheelchair van. So we fundraised for a wheelchair van. And my dad got a loan to for the rest of it for 2004 Kia Carnival because I was lifting his 30-kilo wheelchair into the back of my Toyota Prado every day, several times a day, and it was really destroying me. And everyone thinks, like, you're so young. And I was like, but I like my back.
Yes. And you need it for a long time.
I'm going to be old.
Yes, that's right.
This is what happens.
Exactly.
So I used to baby wear Elsie all the time and carry a load on my hip before we had a wheelchair.
Wow.
Because my car got stolen in 2021.
Oh, thanks.
And it had my double pram in it.
That is more precious than the car.
Yeah, it was $1,500 pram. Ridiculous. So I used to have to baby wrap Elsie and carry Lloydie on my hip to go into daycare or like go shopping. I mean, I still put him in a baby carrier occasionally, and Elsie can walk now, thankfully. Although she decided that she wouldn't walk till she was almost two.
Right,
of course, because
she
knee
walked.
Got it.
I'm like, just because I need you to, you know, walk kind of sooner would really be helpful.
I understand that.
They have their own personalities, which is so annoying.
But she's honestly the best little sister. So she she likes picking his Peggy pad. So I don't know if you're saying like Chewy Fun and whatnot have like little peg pads. So she picks that every morning. Oh, it's usually the burger one. And she... I was doing this little game with her where it's like a doctor's kit and there's like a medicine, wooden medicine thing. And I was pretending to feed Lloydie in his mouth. And Elsie's like, no, 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 you're wrong. It doesn't go there. And I'm like, what do you mean? It's medicine, babe. Like, it's just, we're playing doctor, aren't we? And she's like, no, 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 it goes here. And like lifted up his shirt and like put the medicine in his peg. Because he has his like epilepsy meds and stuff. She's like, it's the red medicine, which is his Epilim, which is epilepsy medication. Yeah. Because I had a red top on the little wooden thing. So you really do see how it changes their kind of life as well. And everything's always fun for her. Like she gets to shake his like Zoggle tablet in the water one. She's like, I want the white one. I want to shake it. She puts a finger over the top and shakes it properly. Tells you how to put his AFOs on if you're doing it wrong or gives you the AFOs. So like, she has to push his wheelchair. And when we went to Bunnings, you know how they've got a Bluey situation going on at the moment?
Yes, I do.
Love that. I love Bluey so much. and, yeah, they've got a little gnome badge. And they went to give it to Elsie first. They're like, oh, would you like a gnome badge? And she's like, no, Bluey needs one first.
Oh, yes.
She's like, yeah, no worries. Like, that's fine. Oh. And then when we're on our way out, you know, the Bunnings stamp, the little like, hammer? The guy was like, oh, would you like a stamp? And she's like, brother first. It's all right. Just breathe. Brother can have one too. Lloyd does not want a stamp. But we need to get a stamp anyway.
She loves him.
And she wants him to be seen.
It's
her way of saying
definitely.
You need to see him. And it's just... She's going to be
So I put them on my TikTok too of her being really cute. We love the Liberty swing, the wheelchair swing, and Elsie stands next to him or when she was small, he used to sit on his lap and I hold them both swinging. So I'm so glad that I had a sibling for Lloyd. A lot of people are terrified of having a complex child and a sibling, but trust me, they will make you cry and your heart melt more than anything else. Even my niece, who's 11 months old and Lloydie, the worst thing for her was when Lloyd could hold his own bottle at 2.5, mind you, because then she couldn't feed him anymore. So she was devastated.
Yeah.
And they're all good. Elsie loves people in wheelchairs. Like she'll go up to random people in public and go and like stand next to them and like talk to them. And they think it's a bit weird sometimes, but it's fine. But she's obsessed. So it's just honestly, I'm so grateful that I have like the best of both worlds, if that makes sense. So having Elsie was like being a new mum all over again because I didn't get the toddler tantrums or the picking food or and she's pretty good too, to be honest. Like she doesn't really she eats everything and does everything. So
do you have other young mums that you're friends with, or where do you get your support apart from your family?
So probably the Swan.
Families
predominantly, like, you know, Heather. There's like one or two young mums that I sort of know of, but not really huge friends with. I don't really have anyone my age.
It's really tricky.
I've got my best friend who doesn't have kids, but she knows how to pig feed and do the AFOs.
What a legend.
Like, she's here every Wednesday and can take Lloyd to therapy. Like, I trust her, like, with my life and my kids' lives. Like, she's absolutely amazing. Her name's Caitlin, Auntie Kaya.
Caitlin, shout out to you. What a legend of a friend.
Yep.
So she's been seriously my, little rock over everything, especially with Brendan and so on. And she's about to get married this year, which is very exciting.
Nice.
But yeah, so she's my main like support. And then I've got obviously my family.
Hang on, have you got a car mat dress to wear to the wedding?
I think she would kill me. she would kill me.
That the friendship ended.
I could probably snake in a strip there somewhere. I'd probably make the dress and snake it in there somewhere. Yes. Because I can sew too, by the way.
Of course you can. Oh, man. You should be selling those t-shirts. Yeah.
Sorry?
You should be selling those t-shirts.
So this is a brand. This is a brand. They don't actually sell it anymore. I'm actually devastated.
Rip them
off. There's definitely some ideas there. Don't you worry.
Yeah.
So, yeah, other than that, Swan definitely, and I joined Swan sort of in 2020, which was a bit difficult. Everyone else had met each other in person.
Yeah, of course, and you were like sort of with online
first. On the Zooms.
And other than that, just kind of a select couple of people, like Heather, which like I'm very thankful for, and other Swan families that I've met, because
I didn't really get to meet anyone at
school.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. You only really need a few that you can sort of chat to. You know, I chat to a lot of people, but I wouldn't say I'm like friends.
Yes.
Like intimate friends with a lot of them. Yeah. But it's nice, you know, you go to a Swan event, you talk to eight different mums, you find eight different things. Like I didn't know at the Royal Children's that you could get, you know, the pension parking.
Yep.
You have to go get the ticket thing every single time. You can get a pass.
Yep, you can.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Until the other day.
You find out these things.
Yes.
Yep. Just little things, or like the MLAC key for the – I tell a lot of people about MLAC key for the wheelchair swing. You go to your council, get the MLAC key. And it's for the public toilets too, the changing places and stuff.
Oh, you can use them.
So I'm a mum. I need to go to the bathroom every 10 minutes, let's be honest. I don't want to use a terrible public bathroom.
Yes.
And I usually have Lloyd with me, obviously.
Yes.
So I just go and use that beautiful changing place, clean the bathroom.
Right.
Yes.
So just little things like that I think is really important. And I'm like I said before, I'm all for if you can teach someone or share an experience that's going to help someone, just do it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that is, legend. I believe, what women do best.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
Yep. And
So,
Wow. So we want everyone to go and follow Rareware and follow Lloyd's TikTok and Instagram as well.
Oh, yeah. It'll be in the show notes.
You'll and then eventually when you do your mechanics TikTok.
Yes.
we'll follow that as well.
Yeah. And the car mat t-shirts. We'll be there for all of it.
Yeah. But anyway. And cake decorating. And Maggie.
Yeah, I do a lot. I know. It sounds ridiculous sometimes. I'm just like.
No. It's wonderful. Right. You're living your life to the fullest. If you want to
do it. Yes. You do it. If you think tomorrow I want to sit on the couch and I'm just going to rewatch, you know, every episode of Friends, whatever, then you do that.
That's right. No.
I'm really into podcasts, actually, which is great for this.
Yes, me too.
I don't know if you guys have ever listened. I don't want to.
No, go.
But, like, so there's the CEO, Diary of a CEO podcast.
Yes, I haven't
listened.
And Mel
Robbins.
Oh, I haven't
Mel
heard
Robbins.
That. No.
Oh, Mel Robbins, she's the funny. I follow her on Instagram and TikTok. Yeah. She's a psychologist.
Yeah. I can't remember what her background is, but she's absolutely amazing.
So she's into fitness and therapy.
Great.
Yeah.
So I listen to those two predominantly, and because, like you guys, they don't talk slow.
Yeah.
I'm very like you can talk a bit slow. On YouTube for uni, I'm like times two.
Yeah.
But you can almost not understand what they're saying.
Yeah,
it's that
you've
fast.
Got a fast brain. So
yeah. Yeah. I don't have time to like muck
Of course you don't.
No.
Well, we have learned a lot from you today.
We really, really, really have.
We could obviously talk forever, but is there anything that we've missed that you would like to tell the world?
Just a takeaway point of if you can help someone, it doesn't matter how small you think it is to do so because you could be saving someone's life even at the end of the day by saying, I'm here. Or it is normal or it's okay to even take a break, especially during something like a burnout or whether you don't know what to do with your life. Just honestly say hello to a person. It makes the world of a difference.
Yeah. You really, really, really
fantastic.
Do.
Yeah. And not to underestimate young mums.
No, don't underestimate.
Yes, that too.
Yeah.
That too.
No, I was one.
Yeah.
And
Yeah, exactly.
All first-time mums are all first-time mums.
That's right.
So mums in general, but first-time mums, we're all the same.
That is true.
That is so true.
Oh, you're a legend. I'm so glad we met you.
Thank you so much for having me on your podcast.
Thank you.
We've
loved it.
We
really have. Thank you, Maya.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.